Welcome back to The New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. Happy New Year and welcome back to another year of The New World Next Week, your source since 2009 for real news you need to know, non-commercial, independent, and open source intelligence. James, when we ended 2014, I said that 2015 would bring more exposure of our corrupt-to-the-core misleaders. I just didn't think it would happen quite so quickly. This from the Los Angeles Times. Britain investigates alleged VIP pedophile ring from the 70s and 80s. The allegations about so-called VIP pedophiles involve prestigious London addresses, some of the highest-ranking members of Britain's establishment, and the suspected abuse of young boys in the 1970s and 80s, including three who were killed. Six members of parliament have been implicated in the scandal, which threatens to expose a powerful political elite who may have raped and exploited juveniles for more than a decade and put their self-interest ahead of the protection of children. John Mann, a member of parliament, presented Scotland Yard with a dossier that he said names 22 high-profile figures, including three in the House of Commons, three members of the House of Lords, who are believed to have been involved in a pedophile ring. The dossier also includes the names of 14 conservative politicians, five from Labour and three from other parties. He alleges that up to five pedophile rings were operational at the same time during the 70s and 80s, and that two whistleblowers who knew about nefarious activities by members of parliament met suspicious deaths. Now, James, I think it's important to note that that's coming from a mainline media source, the Los Angeles Times, a powerful political elite who may have raped and exploited juveniles. That pretty much lays it out. And some of the other links, and again, thanks to the folks on Twitter who have been following this story, especially those in the UK, our friends G.J. Salisbury and David Ewart on Twitter. Also note, the Child Sexual Abuse Inquiry member, because there is the CSA inquiry going on, she was warned against speaking out. And also Jeffrey Epstein, a millionaire, his witnesses, and he is a convicted sex offender, James, threatened and harassed witnesses, court papers alleged, and paid the legal bills of those who refused to answer questions. And as if that's not enough, Bill Clinton and even famed lawyer Alan Dershowitz have been drawn into this sex slavery case that involves millionaires like Jeffrey Epstein and millionaires like Bill Clinton and Alan Dershowitz, but also Prince Andrew, also members of the so-called royal family. So, James, I know this is a story I generally keep a more of an eye on than you typically do, and I like to kind of bring and shine a light on these stories on New World Next Week because I think it kind of gets at the heart of the corrupt to the core bit of our so-called misleaders, James.
Yeah, exactly right. And I think that we've talked about this in some ways on New World Next Week in the past and some of the other work, talking about how that these types of rings are really useful for people in positions of higher power who want to control those in positions of lower power below them, because obviously the blackmail possibilities are endless when people are involved in these types of things. And there was talk, I believe, of hidden cameras that may have caught Prince Andrew involved in some of his nefarious activities. So there you go, having something over a member of the, as you say, so-called royal family is probably a pretty important thing for a well-connected businessman like Epstein. I was watching this Epstein story unfolding and still am doing so. I mean, it's mm-hmm. really horrific, chilling, fascinating, disgusting in equal measures. And I've decided that I think there's so much here with the Epstein story, with the Scotland Yard investigation, with all of these other investigations, that I'd like to put together an open source investigation on this. So I'm going to be putting that out on the website this weekend, and Corbett Report members can log in and start leaving their links and their cookie crumb trails, evidence leading back to what I think is probably an overarching pedophile network that really does get into the highest ranks of power. And we're going to start doing what we can to expose some of that. So once again, open source investigation on CorbettReport.com starting this weekend.
That's fantastic. So James, that was our first story for this first episode of New World Next Week for 2015, and an important one. But our second story is the one that is ricocheting all around the world right now as we speak. And I would just say that you know you're being emotionally manipulated when all the corporate media outlets all adopt the same propaganda without question. Je suis Charlie? I say A2 Charlie. Paris attack on satirical newspaper, a textbook terror event. just the facts. On January 7th, 2015, two masked gunmen armed with Kalashnikov rifles, a shotgun, an RPG launcher, stormed the headquarters of the French satirical newspaper Charlie Hebdo in Paris. They shot and killed 12 people, including 9 employees and 2 national police officers, and wounded 11 others. Several people have been detained by the police in connection with the attack, while a manhunt is currently underway for the 2 suspects. Or, the other way you could look at it, as our man Anthony Cardellucci of Land Destroyer puts it, Paris gunmen spoke French perfectly, likely French who were radicalized in one of the many mosques Western intelligence agencies run and monitor, sent to one of NATO's many proxy wars, trained, armed, fought with NATO backing, came back and carried out this attack, likely with help from handlers, all the while being well known to authorities. Just the shooters claiming they were from Al-Qaeda, demonstrating martial prowess that suggests training, implicates the West and its vast network of state-sponsored terrorism. Meanwhile, global research says this mirrors almost verbatim the type of ops NATO intelligence carried out during the Cold War with similar networks of radicalized militants used as both foreign mercenaries and domestic provocateurs. Toward even the end of the Cold War, one of these militant groups was literally Al-Qaeda, a proxy mercenary front armed, funded, and employed by the West to this very day. So additionally, in all likelihood, the brothers who took part in the attack in Paris may have been fighting in Syria with weapons provided to them by the French government itself. France 24 would report that President François Hollande said that France had delivered weapons to rebels battling the Syrian regime of Bashar al-Assad a few months ago. So deflecting blame for the current attack on radical Islam is but a canard obscuring the truth that these terrorists were created intentionally by the West to fight the West's enemies abroad and to intimidate and terrorize their populations at home. James, this can go on, but the main question, I think, is who benefits? And our man Pepe Escobar has a piece on Russia Today that says this was a pro job that just happened to take place a couple of days after France recognized Palestinian statehood and a few days after Hollande demanded the lifting of sanctions against the Russian threat. So I think, James, just like the Sony hack where terrorists, international terrorists pull off a massive attack only to, I left behind my language data. They're alleging that these guys have been identified because they left their ID card behind in the getaway car, just like the passports that they've shucky darns, you know, dropped on 9/11. So as this is still a developing story, James, I'm imagining there's going to be some Friday night showdown as the masses all tune into the TV and cheer on more murder, a la the Boston bombing miniseries, which again is sort of still kind of playing out here in America as they're going into selecting of the jurors in the Boston bombing case. James, what's your initial take on the Paris attack?
Well, as you say, this is a developing story, so anything we have to say about what cookie crumbs have been left out for us at this point will obviously be yesterday's news by the time people are watching this anyway. So, and look, I get it. This is the biggest story in the world. Every single mainstream news outlet in the world, every pseudo-alternative, every alternative-alternative, all of the media outlets are fixating on this. And of course, in the mainstream narrative, you're going to get the clash of civilizations kind of paradigm. Oh, you got to be scared of those masked Muslim men, or the pseudo alternatives will talk about this as blowback or something of that nature, and the alternative alternatives will be scrutinizing every frame of every video looking for the evidence of the Gladio B false flag involved here. But let me offer a truly alternative take here, which is to say that all sides of this are fixating on this story and playing into the agenda of the terrorists. Whether the terrorists are masked Muslim men or masked NATO Gladio B operatives, the agenda here is to flame the tensions in the strategy of tension, to get us all to fixate on this story, to follow it endlessly, to scrutinize all the details that they're feeding out to us. And honestly, the only way that we can escape the trap that they've laid out for us with this and all of these other stories that fling up through the news cycle, the Sydney sieges and all of these things, the only way we can escape that is to stop fixating on it. Stop giving in to what Karl Rove called the masters of the universe mentality, or whatever he said, where we create reality, and while you're trying to figure out what we've done, we'll just go and do something else, and you'll try to figure that out. Let's stop following them. I wasn't joking when I said in my New Year's resolution, I want to set the news agenda rather than follow it. And I think this is a prime example. I don't want to get caught up in this endless scrutiny of all of these little details trying to parse it all out. Look, we all know it's all staged to the, you know, high heaven, and there's stinks in a million different ways. I don't care about those details when it comes to this case. I want to move on to the parts of the actual news cycle that we can actually influence and do things about. And I'm absolutely sick of following these stories and trying to parse every single thing about it. Look, we know where this is going geopolitically. We know what they're going to try to do. We have to oppose that agenda. Let's get on with it and stop fixating on these stories that they throw out for us.
I think the last thing to note, and your words are well taken, and I think hopefully our third and final story this week will lead us into that direction as we lead into the rest of 2015. But I think it's important to note, and this is what I found kind of at when I found myself at my kind of day job in media, I think the same week that Boko Haram kills hundreds and no one makes a peep, nobody cares about that story anymore. That should tell you that you're being, again, emotionally manipulated. So the same kind of talking heads that feign outrage about this are the same ones who don't really give a crap that collateral murder happened and that we targeted Iraqi journalists in our illegal occupation. They have no problem with drones killing kids in Yemen and Somalia and Pakistan, Afghanistan, so on, week in, week out, by Mr. Barry Satoru. And it's another great opportunity for all our corporate comedians like Jon Stewart and company to wring their hands and also pat themselves on the back for being so brave in the face of all of this terror. So again, anytime an attack kind of happens on the media, you'll see the corporate media kind of compact into its little gang mentality and say that we're going to have to, you know, stick it out. But again, it all feeds into the exact same scenario, James, that you're talking about there. So I think all of those things should be on people's minds before they get emotionally manipulated into the latest big trademark terror event that gets its own music and logo on corporate media. So, having said that, James, let's move to our third and final story this week, where we must have a little bit of good news next week. And the one part I'll mention is a little bit of good news is just the stepping stone to what we really want to mention. Monsanto's earnings fall 34% on lower corn seed sales. Monsanto said its earnings fell 34% in the first fiscal quarter as South American farmers cut back on planting corn, reducing demand for the company's biotech-enhanced seeds. Meanwhile, sales of the company's signature herbicide Roundup and other chemicals declined to $1.25 billion from $1.47 billion. So they're not exactly going to the bankruptcy farm just yet. However, this shows the shift that is happening. And the main thing I think we want to point out is our buddy Brock West in Australia on the Sunshine Coast. He's just posted up week one, 2015, My Community Garden Journal. He got a plot of land, and he and I've talked about it, and he's shown me some of the stuff as we've just had private conversations via the web about he's been growing basil, and he's been growing kale, and he's been growing vegetables by himself with help. But you buy a little plot of land, and he's getting literally his hands dirty and his fingers in the dirt and seeing how easy and how much fun it is to actually be involved in creating your own food. We've been trying to cook more and more and more here at home, and it becomes almost an addiction. The more you get away from the same corporate BS status quo, the more excited you get. And I think that's been kind of the joy I found throughout my life, whether I got away from, it's like, oh, I'm not going to use any of that cologne and fragrance products. I stopped using that stuff decades ago. And the more you're able to get away from it, the more empowered you feel. And the more empowered you feel, the more you know that you're on the right path and you're not spending all your days analyzing the false flag scenarios that have been probably left there by folks who have infiltrated the web, just as we've noted many, many times here, to seed the web with vicious divide and conquer propaganda so that folks who kind of began in the 9/11 truther movement are still going down crazy, endless rabbit holes and never emerging out the other end. And I think that's the kind of work that you and I and folks like Richard Grove at Tragedy and Hope, we want to kind of learn our way forward and get out of the fear trap of all of this. So huge hat tip, huge applause to our man Brock West for starting his own little community garden plot. And that's something that I'm sure, as the food revolution has pretty much fully flown, a lot of folks are going to be able to do this in towns that they live in, James.
Well, I second your hat tip. Big pat on the back to Brock for getting there and getting his hands dirty and getting into it. And again, this is the type of story that really should be the news agenda of people actually doing things, taking power back into their own hands, realizing they are not powerless spectators of these false flag events. They are people who are here in the world, so let's start actually grappling with it and doing something about it. And this is the type of step that we all need to be taking, myself included, as I will be doing later this year and will be reporting back to all of you about it. So absolutely, let's all get involved in this type of thing, and let's make this the real lead news story. This the type of story that that the alternative media focuses on more so than scrutinizing the Masters of the Universe game plan.
So, James, that is the conclusion of this first episode of The New World Next Week for 2015. It's episode 215. And, of course, I always want to remind folks to please submit their story ideas on Twitter using hashtag New World Next Week. So many amazing stories and leads. And, again, that sort of open source investigation that we can all do together and share the information. And if I may, I'd like to throw in one last link as well to my best of 2014 mixtape. You guys know I'm a big, huge, longtime music fan. Every year I put out a mixtape at the end of the year featuring all of my favorite music, and hopefully folks out there will enjoy it. As again, it is a lot of alternative, a lot of things you're not going to hear in the mainstream, and a lot of things that will hopefully get your gears turning just as it would be putting your fingers in the dirt and just as it would be getting out of the fear trap, James.
Well, that's right. Alternative media has to be all forms of media, not just news, but entertainment and all things besides. So my hat's off to you for the work that you do there at MediaMonarchy.com. Let's do this all again next week.
Absolutely, my friend. Thank you.